It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another big day of league action across Scotland. Bottom side Hibs really could be doing with a win at home to St Mirren, with Motherwell off the back of their cup semi-final defeat to host St Johnstone. Dundee United against Ross County before Aberdeen and Dundee play later. And then tomorrow, high-flying Celtic go to Killy and Rangers look to continue their recovery at home to Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Gordon Dalziel, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
The week in Scottish football has been nothing short of breathtaking. From Celtic's 3-1 win over RB Leipzig to Rangers going to Athens and getting a draw with Olympiacos. The less said about Hearts, the better. But a week ago at this time, none of us foresaw Celtic taking 6 goals off Aberdeen. By the end of tonight, Aberdeen could be 3 points ahead of Celtic in the league and 12 points ahead of Rangers before they play Hearts tomorrow. And also, Hibs bottom of the league, they must win against St Mirren. They must, because the international break's coming up and clubs get trigger happy when that happens. So, events all over the place of great interest.
Certainly is. And obviously the headlines maybe for Aberdeen later on, the evening kickoff against Dundee can go ahead of Celtic. But for Motherwell and Dundee United, an opportunity to go level in points with Rangers. And we don't often say that at this time of the season. Usually there's been a breakaway at the top of the table and Rangers are far ahead of anyone, including with Celtic. But for United and Motherwell, a great opportunity for them. So be interesting to see how those ones go today. But for Hibs at the bottom of the table, when are they going to get their season up and running? Can't pick a better time than today.
Back to domestic football, Gordon. Looking forward to a good weekend. We're here all weekend. You start off today with some really good games, and then you even get into the championship. Top play bottom, Falkirk against Airdrie, and a Gordon Dalziel derby, Partick Thistle v Raith Rovers.
Plenty to look forward to. You can tweet us all afternoon at Clyde SSB, of course, the bread and butter of a Saturday afternoon. You can get in touch on the phones a bit later on as well. I will give you the nod, where you can react to all the week's biggest talking points, today's developments, preview tomorrow, do what you like. 01419511025. Write it down. We'll give you the nod a bit later on. But until such times, we'll build up to the games. We'll see you through all the action. And let's see what these three come up with on a Saturday afternoon as well. It has been quite a week, Hugh Keevans, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtic game was quite sensational. Use any description you like. Brendan Rodgers chose generational. But it was an outstanding display, arguably the best display given by a Celtic team managed by Brendan Rodgers. And how do you figure out Rangers? Last Sunday we stood in this studio, we watched them struggle against Motherwell. They were booed off at half time. They got a 2-1 narrow win over a Motherwell side who didn't even play well on the day. And then Philippe Clement goes to Athens, goes a goal down, and still comes out of there with a very valuable point in the Europa League. They are an enigma.
Yes, some week, especially for Celtic. I mean, I agree with you. Brendan Rodgers described it as generational. I'm guess what he means about that is it's something that people cling on to, I suppose, for years to come. You think back to some of those standout Celtic results in the Champions League. The one that always comes to mind is, remember the 4-3 game against Juventus, and people remember that and talk about that. Even some of the games that I was part of the squad in and beat, you know, big teams, AC Milan and Man United, I don't think any of that came close to the performance, the levels that those Celtic players hit on Tuesday night. I thought it was outstanding.
When Celtic beat Barcelona, Tony Watt, they had 13% possession that night. 13%. They were battered, and everyone still refers to that result. But this was a Celtic side who turned the tables. They battered Leipzig.
That was a complete performance, and that was the thing that's made us all stand up and take notice, that that Celtic team has it in them to beat a team second in the Bundesliga, especially with the kind of mental scars of what happened in Dortmund. And Hugh's right, for Rangers, I thought Rangers played very, very well. I think when that the attack a game with that sort of know, those sorts of tactics, and they looked just more mobile and able to get forward and played forward quickly. They looked a good side. It's translating that into their domestic form, it's the problem Philippe Clement's got. So that'll be interesting to see how they react tomorrow. But a good week, apart from Hearts, of course. How can you put your finger on where Hearts are in a minute? One week they're good, next week they're all over the place.
I actually played pretty well midweek, to be fair, just against a decent Bundesliga side. But anyway, we usually pause later on a Saturday to reflect on the week's biggest talking points, so I suspect we'll get back to that. We've got attention to turn to the 3 o'clocks in the Premiership. We'd often start closest to home, but I'm thinking the capital. I'm thinking Hibs against St Mirren. Fraser Wishart, that is massive for the home side.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge, and you guys talking about it in the studio, you mentioned international break, Mark saying when will Hibs get that victory, and I think you're saying they must win today, but this will be a tricky one. You've got to factor in that St Mirren scored 5 goals here at Easter Road last season, a 3-0 win, included the last time here in February, so we seem to be saying it weekly. This is a big game for Hibs, and today, again, sadly for them, that's true. Here we are, 11 games into the season, Hibs bottom of the table, an amazing 20 points behind Aberdeen, who they would see as a similar size club, similar rivals. And the combination of poor finishing, I think a lack of concentration, conceding late goals. And last week, of course, I think we're hard done by decision by the referees, led to a poor run of results. But they have had 3 draws in a row, so there's a bit of a sign of improvement. And talking to people around here who see Hibs every week, they're saying the performances haven't been too bad, but it's the results, because amazingly they've conceded 4 goals in the last 4 games after the 98 minute mark. And if you add the Bruce Anderson and Simon Murray equalisers versus Hibs early in the season, they're on the 92nd and 88th minute, you can see why there'll be nervousness around Easter Road today if the scoreline is tight going into the latter stages. That said, St Mirren have had a bit of a sticky period as well. They're only 4 points ahead of Hibs after all we talk about, and off-field issues, I think early start in Europe as well, that was new to them. Injuries all contributed, but they're slowly getting the key players back from their injuries, returning to their squad. And it might just be a game that suits St Mirren. It's away from home, they can stay compact, they can use the pace and power they have in the attacking third and in the midfield on the break. And of course, they will, it's an old cliche, but they'll try to turn the edgy home support against their team in the early stages. A win for Hibs would mean a happy 2-week international break down Leith Way, but another defeat, and the pressure and the gloom just builds and builds. So a fascinating 90 minutes ahead, and I think there will be goals here today. For Hibs, they've made 2 changes. Kuarevich suspended, he got a 2nd yellow for that penalty incident last weekend, and Lewis Miller drops to the bench, and come Yuan and Chris Cadden. 4-3-3 formation, Joseph Bursic in goals, Chris Cadden, Marvin Ekpieta, Warren Ohora and Jordan Obita at the back. In midfield, Kwon, Nectarios Triantis and Joe Newell, with Ellie Yuan and Junior Hoylett either side of Martin Boyle, who looks like will play right through the middle. Jordan Smith, Lewis Miller, Dylan Levitt, Jake Doyle-Hayes, Jack Iredale, Sean McCurdy, Nicky Cadden, Rocky Bushiri and Dwight Gale are on the bench. St Mirren, just 1 change. It's a straight swap. Conor McManaman is in for James Scott, who drops to the bench. 3-4-3, Ellery Balcom in goals, back 3, Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic and Richard Taylor. Across the middle, Elvis Buomono, Mark O'Hara, Killian Phillips and Scott Tanzer, Colm McManaman, Toyosi Olasanya and Greg Kilty are the front 3. Subs, Peter Arminski, Luke Kenny, Callum Penman, Oisin Smith, Dennis Adeniran, James Scott, Evan Mooney, Jonah Ayunga and Mikel Mandron. The referee, a very new one to me, is Ian Sneddon, and in the VAR box to keep him right as experienced Kevin Clancy.
As you mentioned, Fraser, Hibs are not doing loads wrong within certain parts of games, but they get to 85 minutes, they tend to fall apart. If they're leading, they'll be pegged back. If they're level, they'll fall behind. Yes, it's a harsh refereeing decision last week, one which the KMI panel from the Scottish FA thought the referee got wrong. But, you know, when all's said and done, would the Hibs ownership model, because we know it's a bit different, would they stomach today if it didn't go well?
Well, I was questioning a few of the Hibs fans outside as well, and they don't think so. And it's the Black Knights, perhaps, rather than the Gordon family that would have a say in what goes on here at this football club. You know, earlier on, even before the season started, Bill Foley from the Black Knights was saying that nobody's listening to him up here. And when he invested, I thought he said he was going to be a silent partner, but clearly they're not. And that's going to be the issue for David Gray and Liam Craig, 2 guys I know really well from the PFA days, and 2 good guys. But I think defeat today, and it could be a nervy few days for the 2 of them going into this international break, especially if the teams around, if Hearts were to pick up points, as Joseph would pick up points, all of a sudden there's a wee gap there. But people do tell us that Hibs have been playing fine, been playing okay, they've been not scoring goals, but the lack of concentration at the back is just costing them at certain times in the game. So today it's a home game against St Mirren. It's one they should be looking to win, but it's just got written all over it is that this game is going to be very, very tricky for the home side.
Let's hear from David Gray.
I think especially if you look at the last three results, especially the last one, you know, it feels like a defeat at times, but I've not lost the game. I felt the players deserved to go and get that win. If you can end this little period with 3 points, it's something to then go and build on again, and how quickly it can change from there.
And the man looking to pile on the misery, Stephen Robinson.
It's immense, an okay start to the season. Expectations have risen here, and that's absolute credit to the players. And, you know, when people are disappointed with results or drawn at home, then I take that as a compliment, because the players have raised the expectations so much at this football club, and it's credits them. And it shows that, you know, things aren't that bad. We're sitting joint sixth, and an opportunity to go and cement our place in the top six coming into the third international break, which, considering everything that's happened and injuries and decisions and all the things that's going on at the football club, I think would be fantastic.
So looking forward to that immensely. It might be fraught for those of a Hibs persuasion, but they'll try and get that win, I'm sure. Hibs against St Mirren at Easter Road in the capital. What about Motherwell against St Johnstone, the Simo Vallecari homecoming? Gordon Dale used to have posters of him on his wall in the 90s. Roger Hanna's there.
Yeah, Vallecari coming back to Fir Park today, the first time in 24 years. He was signed by Alec McLeish. He made his debut here in a 2-2 draw with Aberdeen back in February 1997, and he became something of a fan's favourite in his three and a bit years with the Steelmen before moving on to Derby County. The 51-year-old Finn now brings the St Johnstone team to Lanarkshire, and they need the points. I watched them for Super Scoreboard Gordon last Saturday. They lost 2-1 at home to Hearts. They played well in spells. They could maybe consider themselves slightly unfortunate, but the defeat dropped them to 10th, and they're just 2 points above David Gray's Hibs that, you know, Fraser was talking about a moment ago. They won't find it easy here. Motherwell, of course, played well in that first half against Rangers at Hampden in the semi-final last Sunday, and they've made just one change to the Liam Gordon, the former St Johnstone defender. He misses out. He completes a two-game league ban for that red card challenge in Celtic's Adam Eder. There's no Shane Blaney either. Stuart Kettlewell's already without his club captain, Paul McGinney, his vice captain, Stephen O'Donnell, Ross Callaghan, Callum Slattery and Jack Vale. But Harry Payton does return to the bench this afternoon. There's also a first appearance for a new Motherwell chairman, Kirk McMillan, the chief executive of Scottish fashion brand Be Inspired, was appointed through the week. And Daz asked me to give Be Inspired a wee mention so he could maybe get some more Motherwell-related clothing freebies in the next few days. St Johnstone, they make two changes. One is in goal. I saw young Ross Sinclair come off at half-time last week in that Hearts game. Josh Ray come on for him. He starts today with another youngster, Craig Hepburn, on the bench. The other changes are surprising. When top scorer Benji Kimpioka is dropped to the bench, Matt Smith comes into a reshaped midfield, and there's places in the bench for Lewis Nielsen, who couldn't play against Parent Club Hearts last week, and also for Bojo Mikulic, Croatian defender who played under Vallecari in Latvia, has now got his work permit and could make a debut today. So I'll give you the teams. Motherwell, Aston Oxbury in goals, a back three of Dan Casey, Kofi Balmer and Steve Seddon, who's going to tuck in as a centre back. The midfield, Marvin Coletta, Andy Halliday, who assures me he will celebrate if he scores for Motherwell today. The skipper, Lennon Miller, Tom Sparrow and Ewan Wilson. And up top, Tawanda Maswanisi and Apostolos Stamatolopoulos. On the bench, Hegyes, Dravkovski, Robinson, AB, Watt, Tavares, Kutrumbis, fit again, Harry Payton, and 16-year-old academy graduate, John Joe Friel. And we're not sure whether there's any relation to our own David. We'll maybe find out in a minute, Gordon. St Johnstone, it's Josh Ray, as I say, in goal. At the back, Dre Wright, Jack Sanders, Kyle Cameron and Barry Douglas. We think it's a diamond in the midfield. Sven Sprangler at the base, then Matt Smith and Jason Holt, with Graham Carey in the number 10 role. And up top, Adama Sidibe and Nicky Clark. On the bench, Hepburn, Nielsen and Mikulic, Raymond, Kimpioka and Kelkins, Franjak, Essel and Kirk. The ref is Ross Hardy, the bar is Greg Aiken.
I have to say, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are practising their Apostolos Stamatolopouloses in the studio, and it is not going well. If only those mics had been left on during that. You're going to be keeping a keen eye, Roger Hanna. These things are sometimes written. Your colleague on a Monday night, Andy Halliday, what do you think? A goal, shirt off, swing it round his head, knee slide, backflip, finger to the lips, hand cut behind the ears, the full lot.
Yeah, and probably an Alfredo Morelos celebration as well, just at the end of it all, I would imagine. I think one thing that's been lost, Gordon, and among all the furore about the no celebration, is how well he took the goal. It was a great ball in by Steve Seddon. He attacked it. I don't know quite where Jeffrey was going. I think maybe he'd heard Gordon Dale had left a window open and was going to close it or something. But Andy took the goal really well. He's been getting into good positions. Would not at all surprise me if he was among the goals again today.
Could have been an interesting one, because we're talking about, for pretty much all of the league table, Roger, it's, we're not really sure if it's taken shape yet. I think that's because everyone expects that bottom two to not be there, just because of the size of the clubs, although maybe people are starting to change their minds. And then you look at St Johnstone as well. You know, signs of life under a new manager, but not plain sailing. I wonder how you see this one going.
I would fancy the home team today, Motherwell. I saw St Johnstone last week, as I said to you, Gordon, good in flashes. I'm actually surprised Benji Kimpioka has been dropped to the bench. I've noticed I was coached a week or two back from Vallecari just about his work rate, his lack of care in retaining possession, that kind of thing. So I wonder if that's maybe just cost him his place. It looks a St Johnstone team is maybe here for a point. You know, when you add Matt Smith into that midfield with Sprangler and Holt and Carey, Nicky Clark played a deeper role as well last week, so I'm interested to see if he's pushed on into the Kimpioka role or stays where he is. But I think Simo, and his first meaningful return here for about a quarter of a century, I think he'd happily go back up the road with a point.
And your final 3 o'clock Premiership offering, Dundee United, Ross County. David Friel is there.
Yeah, Gordon, quite just now, but it's been a good weekend for Jim Goodwin already. He signed a new 1-year deal last night. I think it's a well-deserved contract. Jim guided Dundee United to promotion last season. I think it's fair to say they've had a more than decent start this season. Some lows, but plenty of highs. They sit fourth on the table, 16 points. And I think this new deal gives everyone at the club just a bit of certainty moving forward, especially going into next season with contract renewals coming down the line for players, etc. United, as I say, they're actually without a winning three coming out of this one, but their spirit, togetherness, all that has been really impressive this season. They also play some good stuff. They seem to score injury time winners or equalisers every other week, and it wouldn't surprise you if there's late drama again today. Jack Walton, he's talking earlier about 100 minute games being expected now, so put it this way, I've not made any early dinner reservations, but Jim Goodwin, he's a lot to contend with in terms of injuries. Christian Chapanowski, he's been ruled out for a month. Ross Graham, Louis Moult, Craig Sibyl, key players for him, they're still missing. But I think he will look at this game and look at this team he's put out and feel they are good enough to get a result against Ross County. And as Mark said, they could go level in points with Rangers today, but they would need to win by 5 to go above them. As for County, they start the day in 9th. They're unbeaten in the last 3, beating Kelly, drawing with Hibs and St Mirren. I think Don Cowie's done an okay job. He's made them competitive, but scoring goals is a big problem. They've only got 10 in 12 league games so far. They haven't actually won an away league match since last September, over 14 months. But they could go within a point of United with a win today, so it's all to play for. United made one change from last week's draw at Hibs. Glenn Middleton drops out. Jop van der Sande is in. It looks like a 3-5-2 formation. Jack Walton in goals. Emmanuel Adeboyega, Declan Gallagher, Kevin Holt at the back. Ryan Strait, David Babunski, Rico Sevelge, Will Ferry across the middle, with Lucas Stevenson in behind Sam Dalby and Jop van der Sande. It's also United are Richards, Odada, Middleton, Doherty, Fotheringham, Constable, Thompson, Sturton and Meshack. In terms of Ross County, they have made 3 changes. Josh Reid, Noah Chilvers are out along with Jack Greaves up front. Ryan Leek, Aidan Derriman and Rowan Hale all come in. That's going to be a 3-5-2 formation as well. Ross Laidlaw in goals with Akil Wright, Casper Lapata and Ryan Leek at the back. James Brown, Josh Nisbet, Aidan Denham, Connor Randall and Eli Campbell across midfield, with Jordan White and Ronan Hale in attack. Subs for County are Hamilton, Allardyce, Chilvers, Greaves, Telfer, Affetti, Samuel, Brophy and Reid. The referee at Tannadice is John Beaton and the VAR is Gavin Duncan.
You should know the drill, but if not, we will pause there and talk about some of the week's biggest topics when we return.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel in the studio. The top team round the grounds, where they've already given you team news ahead of the 3 o'clock games, one later kickoff to come, and of course two big matches tomorrow. So let's, as we always do on a Saturday, look at the week's biggest talking points. And clearly that was Scottish clubs in Europe. David Friel, you will have seen many Celtic performances. Where does that one rank?
I was actually trying to think. I think Mark's maybe doing Gordon Strachan's team a bit of a disservice. I think if you look back at the list of teams that came during that period, Celtic produced some big results, big performances and very impressive performances. I would certainly say it's the best since then. Gordon. I think, you know, you can talk about eye-catching results like Neil Lennon's win over Barcelona and all that, but in terms of just a team being so comfortable in how they played and so commanding against top-class opposition, you know, RB Leipzig are right up at the top of the Bundesliga beside Bayern Munich right now. I think the maturity, the composure, the pace, the physicality, everything Celtic showed on Tuesday night was just outstanding. I think it's everything Brendan Rodgers wanted from his team. He spoke this morning about this vision of, you know, what he saw Celtic becoming when he sat down with Callum McGregor in Spain a couple of years ago and spoke about coming back to Celtic, and I think it all came together, and to me that's the standard Celtic have set now going forward, and I think they've put themselves in a great position to go forward in the competition as well.
David, I wasn't being unfair. I know the results that we got in 2007, 2008, 2009, and they were big games, were great results, and we drew against AC Milan in the last 16, we beat them in the group stages, and Man United we beat, and we drew against Man United in another year, and some big teams, good ones. But I just thought on Tuesday night the level of performance was so different from anything that I'd seen for a long, long time from a Celtic team, if any. Just the level of control, how quick they were to break things up in their press, but having the confidence to play from the back all the way through, a top tier side. Now I think what goes against, or people think, or some people, is having a wee bit of a go at the result, is because it's RB Leipzig. Now RB Leipzig, football's different now. RB Leipzig spent loads of money, they've got a great product there, they've got a great way of putting together their club. They're not football royalty like a Juventus, a Milan or somebody like that. So maybe people say, oh, it's only RB Leipzig, but they are a top side and Celtic tore them to shreds. So that's why I was so impressed. That's why I'm saying it was above anything that I was involved in or can remember seeing.
I think the game deserves to be seen in isolation and not compared to Barcelona, Juve or any other result. And I believe it deserves to be taken in isolation for one reason. German opposition in this season's Champions League brought humiliation to Celtic. RB Leipzig on Tuesday night brought redemption to Celtic. And it was redemption in the form of a performance of such maturity that I had people texting me, yourself included, Gordon Duncan, to say, are you watching this? Because no one could quite take in that this was Celtic playing with that level of maturity, that level of assurance, and proving that they can, in spite of all that went on in Dortmund, they can operate at that level of the game.
Do you think there's a level of sort of vindication, Gordon? Do you think Brendan Rodgers in his quiet moments will feel he's vindicated because it was done in his way, if you like? You know, there has been this notion over his first spell, certainly after Dortmund, that to get results in the Champions League, you know, forget this high press, forget that sort of stuff. You're going to need to do something different. He bristles when the word pragmatic is mentioned. You're going to need to do something different. Granted, it was at home, so maybe there's a slightly different emphasis. But I thought it was interesting. He said that the second goal that Celtic scored was one of his favourite goals his Celtic team has ever scored. Now, I know what you're thinking. It wasn't exactly wonderfully eye-catching, but because of the way they won it back, because of the level of opposition, the way they all managed to squeeze it, win it back and then score. And they scored a lot of goals under Brendan Rodgers. He said that was one of his favourites he's ever seen.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it, how a manager can take one goal in isolation and say that's the one. He's probably worked in that, you know what I mean. He's asked his players to go and be hungry, get the ball back. I thought they were absolutely brilliant, Gordon, I've got to say. And I take on board, and Mark's right about the opposition. This is a team that's only lost, what, 5 or 6 goals. They're sitting second in the Bundesliga. I looked at them against Liverpool and I thought, oh, Celtic are in for a real hard time. Second half, to win the game is the most important thing. To get the 3 points, because if Celtic's going to go forward, everybody was talking about their home form. But to add such a classy, classy performance, and I mean classy, because that was great to watch. That was terrific football. It all came together, and I think that's what pleased Brendan Rodgers.
It shows the fine lines, right, between Brendan Rodgers' tactics, because in Dortmund he adopted a press that was so high, and you know Dortmund get out in the first few minutes in the score. But in that Leipzig goal that he says is his favourite goal, Leipzig actually managed just to get out, and their midfield player turns and he's facing forward, but he decides to turn back in, and that's where Celtic nicked the ball. That's the fine lines. If he manages to play that pass through, Celtic have got five players in that corner out, and who knows what could have happened. So that's what you're hoping can happen. You know, you force players into making wrong decisions. You sometimes don't always, it doesn't play out. Obviously in Dortmund that didn't play out, and that didn't play out a lot. Atalanta was slightly different, but on Tuesday night everything clicked for Celtic, and they got their rewards for that.
It's the pace of play, Mark. It's the pace that they go at. The minute they get the ball, the movement of Celtic players, and the pace and desire, you can see that's a very well coached outfit. And when it all comes together like it did the other night there, it must be, if you're a Celtic fan, brilliant to go and watch.
Where did the performance rank for you, Roger Hannah? Let's not get hysterical. Clearly Celtic have had better results. I don't think there is any doubt they've had better results against better opposition. Performance level, where did it rank?
Oh, I mean, as a performance, Gordon, it's one of the most complete performances by Celtic in Europe of the modern era. Celtic have had great moments in Europe. The boys have discussed a lot on the 4-3 night, but a basketball game against Juventus. The Man United night, great moments with the penalty save by Boris, the free kick by Nakamura. Great moments with those late winners against AC Milan, Shakhtar Donetsk. The night, as she was touched on, you know, the moment of Tony Watt's goal off 13% possession. This was different, Gordon. This was a far more controlled performance. You were waiting in the big charge from Leipzig after they went 3-1 down to get back in. Leipzig, the second best team in Germany, couldn't get the ball off Celtic. And I include the likes of Liam Scales off the bench, who looked as composed as anyone pinging the ball about. This was in the week when Philippe Clement talks about using Rangers' win against Motherwell as a reference point. This Leipzig win needs to be the reference point for Brendan Rodgers and Celtic in Europe now. They have shown how they can perform against the continent's elite. And it's not now a case of thinking Celtic can get into this, you know, round of 24, if you like, in February. Celtic will be looking to finish as high as they possibly can in this group and maybe get a second leg at home at Celtic Park to battle for a place in the last 16.
Is that kind of the way it does need to be, Fraser? You can't do it every time, but you know, Leipzig spend more money than Celtic. So this habit that we fell into in recent times of sort of shrugging the shoulders and saying, well, you know, if we play richer teams, you're going to get beat, is the other night just a sign that it doesn't have to be that way?
Yeah, absolutely, and I agree with everything that's been said. It was a brilliant performance, other than just a 20-minute period in the first half when Leipzig scored on either side of that. They had a wee bit of domination, but apart from that, it was just the level of performance and consistency of performance as well. And that set a bar, and Celtic are far capable of doing that more often now, and I think that's the expectations. I was talking to a pal of mine, a big Celtic fan, who was on his way to the game on Wednesday night, and I said to him, do you think we should expect a bit more from Celtic in Europe? And his answer was yes, and they absolutely got it. And to do it a month after what was a terrible performance and result in Dortmund, you know, and I know Brendan Rodgers bristles a wee bit at the criticism. You're going to get criticism, and he has tweaked, and certainly away from home, but at home they just went for it, and the crowd were there, the place was rocking, and there was a level of performance by individual players. Kuhn scored a couple of fantastic goals. For me, Hatate was absolutely brilliant, but Callum McGregor is the key man for Celtic. I still think he's the best player in the country. It's just so sad he can't play for Scotland, or he doesn't feel he can, and also play for Celtic. But what a performance by a centre midfield player, the playmaker, the maestro, just moving the ball around, his angle of passing, his pace of passing, the simplicity sometimes of his passing, which is a killer 10-yard pass. It was a wonderful performance by Callum McGregor. But now Celtic play Bruges at home soon, and they've got a real, real chance. Certainly they should be in the top 24, but as Roger says, can they be in the top 16? You know, and when you just look at this new format as well, I don't think they get too many games that will frighten them in the next four games. So, brilliant performance by Celtic. What a night for the Celtic supporters.
Come on, Hugh, for the 327th time in your long history in this show, let's do it. Let's just get your humble pie early. That way it was have settled before dinner time. Toto, yeah, and about 92 others have sent me this. Can you please ask Hugh about this quote from your column last year? Kuhn is not just a poor player, he's awful, and he still has 5 years left. 5 years. Who is responsible for these bizarre decisions?
A bit showbiz, folks.
Got a bit early in that one.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's why people in my role, columnists and newspapers, are there to be shot down when people like the gentleman on social media there can get the full picture. Once Nicholas Kuhn has proved himself to be truly exceptional, and I think probably the next Matt O'Reilly in terms of what Celtic can acquire for a player, then of course we are there to be shot at. I have absolutely no problem with it, none at all. You live by the sword and you perish by the sword.
There we go. He's slowly but surely tucking into his humble pie. Hopefully that satisfies you all. Until next time, there will be a next time, and you know it. Roger, what about Rangers? It's a point in the Europa League, clearly, and it's an important point in the Europa League. Is it more than that? Can it be more than that? It feels like that's what people of a Rangers persuasion would obviously be looking for here. Signs that something is turning, signs that not all is as bad as was feared a couple of weeks ago. Is it as much as that, or is it just a point?
Well, you can have a pop at Hugh all your life for what he said about Nicholas Kuhn, but what he said about Rangers at the top of the show is the perfect way of summing it up. They are an enigma. Rangers go into Europe and they look transformed in terms of performances individually and collectively. They have a different level of confidence about them in European games. You know, how on earth can they be so much better against Olympiacos, who won the Conference League last season, than they were against, no disrespect Gordon, but Motherwell in the first half at Hampden last week? And you wouldn't know what Rangers are going to turn up for any game. They're playing a very poor Hearts team, second bottom of the league and lost in Europe in midweek. They've got them at Ibrox tomorrow evening. Will they beat Hearts? You would have a great deal of confidence in them beating Hearts at the minute. What I will say is they should take confidence from the second half against Motherwell and the performance in Greece in midweek. A lot of players, Sean Raskin looks as if he's getting to some sort of level of form. Sterling for Tavernier look to be a decent change because the captain's dreadfully out of form at the minute. But what they need is to produce that level of performance on a 90-minute basis, week in, week out. Otherwise, the question marks will just persist about Philip Clement and his players.
What about James Tavernier? Are Rangers better off without him? I knew that would be the question that would come up after one game where he was left out, Fraser. But, you know, it's kind of hard to get away from at least the discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was probably appropriate that James just sat out of the game and maybe just gets a rest, gets himself back and out of the spotlight and back into form. But I can't believe some of the stick that he's getting from supporters. I have to say, a man who's been the club for so long and through some good times, some bad times, and has been so consistent over a period. Yeah, he's not playing at his best right now, but my goodness me, what short memory supporters have these days. And maybe that's just the world that we live in just now. But I do think it was probably the right decision. I was at the game last Sunday, the semi-final against Motherwell, and he looked like a player without confidence. He was doing things that he wouldn't normally have done. For example, ball played back to him that he usually played first time, he's taking a touch, and that's a sign of a player just losing his confidence. And for an away game against Olympiacos, I think Dujon Sterling coming in was the right choice because a more defensive player. But James Tavernier still got a big role to play for Rangers. But for the Rangers supporters, don't have too short memories. This man's been a wonderful servant and a wonderful player for the football club in recent years.
Yeah, he certainly has contributed, Roger, but in terms of the here and now, I wonder, as an example, does he come back in tomorrow? Because if he does, then it's just bog standard rotation, and if he doesn't, then, you know, there's a big decision being made there.
I'm interested to see how fit Dujon Sterling is. He got taken off. The manager said pre-match, I didn't think he would be fit for 90 minutes. He got taken off after 50 in Athens. So I think it would depend how fit he is. Interesting to see it was Casemiro who come on for him rather than Tavernier. I am far from convinced Tavernier will start the game tomorrow. I don't think his form justifies it, Gordon. We said in the show through the week, you know, I've backed James Tavernier a long time. I don't think he's high up in the list of problems at Rangers. But at the minute, he's not meriting his place in the team just through form.
What do you think, David Friel? Are they better off without him? It sounds very harsh, but I reference it because these are some of the phrases that were used on last night's show.
Yeah, I think we're just beginning to see the end for James Tavernier at Rangers, to be honest with you, Gordon. I agree with Fraser. I think he's been a great servant. I think he's gave Rangers some great moments. His numbers have been exceptional for years and years, but I think all things come to an end, and for me, he's no longer a first pick at Rangers. I think his recent performances show that, and it was different when Philippe Clement didn't have any alternatives. He's now got two. You know, Dujon Sterling is a right back. Casemiro is a right back, so I think he's now falling down the pecking order, and Rangers have got some big games coming up, including two against Celtic And we've seen what's happened with Dyes and Maeda against James Tavernier recently. I don't think he starts either of those games as things stand, Gordon. That would be a huge statement if a Rangers go into the cup final and not playing their captain.
If he doesn't get picked for the cup final on December 15 against Celtic, it's the beginning of the end. If he does get picked and he loses, it is definitely the end.
Yeah, I have to agree. Everybody comes to an end, you know, cycles come to an end, and James Tavernier looks like he's getting there. I agree with that with David. The team selection for that game is going to be key, because Philippe Clement can spin it in terms of his resting players, and he's, you know, he's got options to come in. But the big one, you pick your best team for that occasion. If he's not in it, then
A lot of football before then, though, Gordon.
Yeah, I can't buy into this, you know, Tavernier's finish scenario, Gordon. What it is quite simple. A guy who's been absolutely brilliant, and I agree with David Friel saying that how good he's been in the past, has lost form. Every player in the world loses form. He deserves to be left out. Of that, there's no doubt, but I still think there's plenty of football left in him.
How do you distinguish it? And granted, we're all predicting, but there is a difference between a temporary loss of form and a decline.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
obviously, if he's 23, then you say, well, maybe he's just out of form and he'll be fine in a month. But naturally, people would, you know what I mean? How do you know it's that and not a decline?
Well, we don't know until it gets back in, Gordon. The rest might do him the world of good. Taking out the firing line might do the world of good. I think we're just so critical, and especially of Rangers players now. And I'm not sticking up for them, because I said last week they bore me watching them. I thought the European game, they looked a different side. They looked a lot quicker, sharper, everything about them. And you get back to even the goal scorer, Dessers. Dessers scored two big goals last week. Hamden, he gets Rangers back into the semi-final. The other night there, he gets the goal that gives him a good point, and probably should have got more. But all they can talk about is the negatives, about how many chances does he miss. He's not doing this, he's not doing link-up play. You know, sometimes I think we just, we're too critical of players. And it's the same with Tavernier. He gets the blame for every single thing that happens with Rangers. He's been brilliant for them. People should remember
that. But maybe it's not that deep. Maybe Rangers fans are just looking for the team that gives them the best chance of winning a game. Boil it down to that, right? Because what James Tavernier did in 2018 and 19 and 20 is wonderful. But with the best will in the world, it makes hee-haw difference to tomorrow or the next week or the next week. So is he in Rangers' best starting 11 right now?
Right now. No, and I said that. I says he deserves to be left out. But what I'm not doing is, like a lot of people saying, well, that's him finished. He's come to the end of his career. He's 33 years of age. He probably keeps himself very fit. Yes, his numbers are well down. I've said for weeks upon weeks, and I wasn't surprised he got left out the other night. But we can't just automatically say, right, okay, let's write him off. You've got to give him an opportunity.
It's such a significant talking point, sorry, Hugh, because it will be the final piece in the changing of the guard when Tavernier. If you look at all the players that have came and gone, and Philippe Clement's managed to move on a few of them, and Goldson was a big part of that as well. Tavernier's the one constant. It's stayed in there. Now we're seeing him playing less games, and that's why it's such a big talking point, because Rangers fans want to see progress. They want to see a change in everything. But he's the one that's always stood the test of time, and it's come to an end.
The Rangers fans are fed up with the culture of failure at their club. For the last 12 years, it has largely been a culture of failure. Tavernier has been there for 9 years, has won one title, one Scottish Cup, one League Cup. And I think that he is unjustly treated by the Rangers supporters. But that's the nature of football support. The culture of failure, he is associated with that, and that's why he's judged harshly.
Let's knock it on the head for now, because we've got 3 o'clock games and we go back around the grounds next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Diehl are in the studio, but we've got big games to look forward to. Let's go back to Fir Park, Motherwell against St Johnstone. You touched on it, Roger, but an interesting off the field development at Motherwell this week. A new chairman, Kirk McMillan. Let's make Hugh Keevans feel really, really old, because he's just getting to the, you know, he's going through the journey of players being young, and now even managers are half his age. The chairman of Motherwell, 33 years of age.
Blimey. I'll be 75 on Tuesday. How that says it all.
It does say it all, Roger Hanna. But big change at Fir Park this week.
Yeah, I mean, big changes. Hugely Cardigans that are older than the Motherwell chairman now. And it just that they needed change. They needed, when Jim McMahon stood down, there was a new chief executive appointed in Brian Caldwell. He's doing a very good job at the football club, and they needed a board round about. And so Curtin McMillan has come in as chairman. There will be other changes and additions to the Motherwell board, and I think they now want to almost build for the future. You know, there was the talk of Eric Barmack and the Netflix money coming into the club. The Welsh Society decided that plan wasn't for them going forward, and they now need to redouble their efforts to bring money into the football club to secure the future of the football club. Yes, they have a wonderful asset here in Lennon Miller at 18 years of age, captain the team again today, who will be sold for several million pounds at some stage. They've also got young Ewan Wilson, an academy graduate in the team, as I said earlier on. Young John Joe Frew, another academy graduate at 16, coming onto the bench for the first time with the first team today. He's being watched, I think, by teams from the English Championship as well during his you know, academy games. So there are players there, there are saleable assets, but it's important that Motherwell can get a sustainable future that doesn't rely on selling a player every year, that doesn't rely on reaching cup semi-finals like they did at Hampden last Sunday. And I think that's, you know, what Brian Caldwell, Kirk McMillan and the rest of the new look board here will strive to do, Gordon.
Yeah, very interesting story. 33 years of age, he's the CEO of Be Inspired, the fashion brand. His father-in-law's on the board at Hertha Berlin. Quite an interesting tale. But in terms of the playing staff, how'd you get away from it, Roger Hanna? Every week there's something else. So Lennon Miller, a lot was made about being captain last week. I think by his own admission, it probably wasn't his best performance. Is it anything to do with the captaincy? You'll never really know. He's now going to get a bit of a run at it, where maybe the spotlight comes off that story a little bit, because, you know, Stephen O'Donnell and Paul McGinn are nowhere near fitness. And Southampton, the club, linked with him this week. What did you make of that?
Well, listen, clubs like Southampton and clubs in England and Italy and Germany and France and wherever you like, Gordon, they're not doing their job if they're not aware of the progress of Lennon Miller. He has been one of the great stories of Scottish football in the last year or 18 months. He didn't have his best game at Hampden last week, but sometimes that happens to 18-year-olds. There was a lot of pressure put on him. I'm not sure he was deployed in his best position, I have to say, at Hampden last week. So, interesting, a wee tweak to the team today. Liam Gordon is suspended, and it's Tom Sparrow who comes in. So we think Steve Seddon will go to left centre back. Ewan Wilson pushed back out to a left wing back role. Tom Sparrow will come into the midfield, possibly alongside Andy Halliday, and that might let Lennon go on a little bit further to support the front two, get on the ball and try and make things happen for Motherwell. So I don't think the captain had anything to do with the performance last week, but he will certainly be looking to lead by example today.
Yeah, back to Easter Road, because everyone's got this built up has been a huge day for David Gray. Fraser, do you think that can cause a sort of nervier performance? How do the players get away from that?
Well, they've got to start the game well, and it's an old cliche, but that's really important when you're out of form. They've only got one home win and three draws in their six games at home so far this season, so if you start well, then the fans will be on your side. If it's 20 minutes and you're not making any headway, you're a goal down, then that's when the nerves start to set in. And there's a lot of new players to Hibs this season, you know, 10 of the 20 that are stripped have come in over the summertime as well, so they're probably coming to Hibs thinking, yeah, the top half of the table, challenging for a place in Europe. Now all of a sudden they find themselves at the bottom of the table, and that home win is their only win this season in 11 games, so there's no doubt there's pressure building on this squad. And I think, as I said earlier, I think it's the Black Knights, it's Bill Foley factor more than anything else that's going to be play a factor and a reason in whether David and Liam get more time. I think if they win, of course they will, but if they lose, there's no doubt they're under real pressure. But they are playing against St Mirren, who, yeah, great plaudits, and they've done really well the last couple of seasons. Just a wee bit shaky this year. They've only got one draw away from home in their five away games, and they've lost 13 goals in those games as well. So maybe it's a day for Hibs. If they can get a goal, they get on top, get the fans behind them, then they can get the victory. But it's a really tough one to call. I think you can only look at it after 25 minutes, see how the game's going before deciding how this game's going to go. So a nervy 90 minutes ahead for everybody in green and white and who supports that club.
Yeah, looking at Dundee United, Ross County, David Friel, for the vast majority of this season, scoring goals actually hasn't been a problem for Ross County, but all of a sudden, three out of their last four, they've failed to find the back of the net. They obviously go into this on the back of two 0-0 draws in a row. I just wonder if there are signs that the goals are drying up at a bad time.
Yeah, they certainly have been drying up at a bad time, and it was interesting, you know, I think Ronan Hale has been the kind of most eye-catching forward for County, but he found himself out of the team last week at St Mirren. I don't know whether that was Don Cowie just trying to give him a little, you know, jimmy up just to say that you need to raise your game. He's obviously got a lot of the kind of Northern Ireland stuff going on just now. He's switching from the Republic of Ireland, and that's still up in the air just now. It looks like it is going to go through, but it might be the turn of the year. But he comes back in today, and I think, you know, that front two of Ronan Hale and Jordan White does seem to be their best bet. And, you know, they're up against a United team who will give you chances but also carry a threat up the other end as well, Gordon. And County will need to be switched on if they're going to end this horror away run. No away win in the league since last September, because United, beyond the 75 minute mark, over 50% of Dundee United's goals have been scored. I think it's 8. So, you know, they keep going. That says everything about the fitness and the spirit of Jim Goodwin's side. And I think County have switched off at times this season. I've watched them a couple of times, you know, down at Spartans. I remember they just switched off at key moments. I think they've been guilty of that. So Don Cowie will need a complete performance today if he's going to get that win.
Would you like that, Gordon Dale? Would you like David Friel to be the victim of a third consecutive 0-0 draw for Ross County?
He's a bit of a jinx, isn't he, for Ross County?
I don't think he was there for them all, to be fair. But,
but he doesn't usually get a good game. I'm a bit concerned that he's taken over from Wishart.
Yeah, let's find out what happens this afternoon then, because the scene is set at the 3 Premiership games. There's still one scene left to be set a bit later on, Aberdeen against Dundee. And then, of course, somewhere down the line, we focus on tomorrow as well. But let's get these 3 o'clock Saturday games up and running next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Saturday afternoon, who else would you rather spend it with than Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL? We are here looking ahead to these 3 o'clock kickoffs. So come on then, there are only 3 of them in the Premiership. What does your make-believe hypothetical ACCA look like this afternoon?
It looks to me like a Motherwell home win over St Johnston, Hibs and St Mirren, sorry, a draw, and Dundee United to beat Ross County.
3 home wins and a draw for me. The 3 home wins will be Hibs will beat St Mirren, Murrayfield will beat St Johnson, and Aberdeen.
Okay,
there'll be a draw at Tannadice.
Ooh, I'm going Motherwell St Johnson draw, Hibs St Mirren draw, Dundee United Ross County home win.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
Right, there we are. This feels more familiar. Up and running at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. We're back with league action, looking ahead to games later tomorrow, seeing what else comes across our radar throughout the course of the afternoon. There is so much out there, so do stay in touch on Twitter all day at ClydeSSB. It'll give you some teasers to get your teeth stuck into as well. And of course, a bit later on, your chance to have your say when we open the phone lines. I like how this became just like a novelty, a one-off thing where we thought, let's pretend to play that game where whoever scores first in Scotland, that's where you two go to on your Christmas night out.
Scored.
And we'll practice it for your Christmas night out. But we now do it every week, and are you actually going to?
Yeah. Well, I've come up with an alternative means of travel. By the way, it was only this week I discovered.
Helicopter?
Well, close to. You know the seaplane that goes up Loch Lomond?
Yeah.
You can actually Uber that.
to Clydebank, to the wee.
You can take
the burn
to go anywhere.
It's not going to land in the car park here, though.
No, but it's a seaplane that can land in the canal or the Clyde, right?
I'm just thinking the Clyde. Not quite frankly.
And then if it's Elgin or something, you're 15 minutes up the road.
You're sending me out with this guy.
I'm thinking the Loch Lomond seaplane will not land in the canal outside this building.
Maybe a bit narrow, but we'll take the, was it the old John Brown shipyards just down the road?
It's called the River Clyde.
Yeah. Down at the Clyde. It can land there, right? We'll jump on. There you
go. Okay.
So if it's anywhere up north, is the company actually covering the cost? Because it's not the cheapest.
First round, I think. First round of drinks they'll cover. So we'll see. Let's just practice again and we'll pick. Producer John behind the scenes is actually trying to get me to commit to picking a date for you two to.
When is it?
I don't know. That's the thing. I thought I'd run it past you first.
I want to dress up when I come in. I don't want to be caught.
We're not going fancy dress. That's the one thing I hated. See, Christmas night out with the lads and you're away in Liverpool or Manchester, but one of the nights is fancy dress. Oh,
nah.
Terrible.
Who did you dress up as? Fabba player.
No, I dressed up. I remember we went with Celtic one time. We were in Liverpool, and we had a fairly lively Saturday night, and then the Sunday hadn't really stopped for the Saturday night. Me and Paddy, I dressed up as Elvis, he was Banana Man, and the two of us were sitting in the cab club.
This is Paddy
Elvis
McCourt,
and Paddy McCourt. He was Banana Man with a mask on, and we were worse for wear. Dreadful situation to be in.
Well, listen, you'd rather be out with Gordon DL, I'm absolutely sure. Let's do this, Hugh, and give it maximum time.
Okay.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
In honour of the fact Motherwell have got a 33-year-old chairman, we've got an ageist question here. Tell me the seven players 33 years and older who have scored in the Scottish Premiership this season. Tell me the seven players 33 years old and older who have scored in the Scottish Premiership this season.
Just to be clear, they had to be 33 or older when they scored.
Yeah.
So we might need to put a wee asterisk when we put that question on social media. So the players had to be 33 or older when they scored. Can you name the seven players who've done that in the Premiership this season at Clyde SSB? It is a race. You have to get all the correct answers on one tweet and send them over quicker than everyone else. Let's go.
This is frightening. I was 42 years old when your chairman was born.
Ooh.
That's a worrying question.
You were what? Sorry, 42?
When he was born.
You are quite old.
You are ancient.
Yeah.
That is quite a sobering thought. I'll tell you what my favourite story of the day is so far, and I hope that Scottish football can really outdo this, but it's loosely linked to us. Ever heard of a player called Justin Deveney?
No.
Nope.
Who's he play for?
No.
Was in Kilmarnock's academy, then got loaned out to Broomhill in the Lowland League.
Mm-hmm.
Just last season, he played for Airdrie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's starting for Crystal Palace in the English Premier League today.
Really? What an interesting journey that is for him.
Young, I take it.
21.
What a jump that is.
Yeah.
Incredible, isn't it?
Good luck to him.
He's like I say, I think he's kind of born here.
Like where we're going.
Montrose.
Get the plane fired up.
Montrose 1-0. Pack your bags, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
That's an overnight.
Have you ever beaten Montrose? You would have been.
I've played Montrose.
I've only got a couple of the 42 that I haven't been to, but that is one of them.
That's
one I've been to.
Not Lynch much
Park.
Happening in Montrose. No.
Scored a hat trick there, mate.
Did you?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Justin Deveney, I think he was born here. I'm not sure, but anyway, he does represent Northern Ireland under 21s.
Well done to the young man.
Quite incredible, isn't it?
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think he was signed by Palace. Obviously, it was a sort of youth player, essentially, but from that level, yeah, I think he played for Airdrie at the start of last season. It's madness, isn't it?
Crazy.
It's called meteoric rise.
What Airdrie sold him, did they? And recoup some money, yeah.
That's why we live in hope, Mark. You never know what's round the corner. Maybe a bigger radio station will come in for us.
There is none bigger than this. This is the biggest.
Down in London.
One would have to exist first.
Our own show.
Our own show, is that what you're hoping for?
Yeah,
out of life?
Breakfast show.
You're aiming too low. I'm hoping that.
What are you hoping for?
Well, my lottery numbers come in. I don't need to ever see yous again.
Yeah, there we are. August last year, he played for Airdrie against Partick Thistle. And just over a year. Came on actually. He was on the bench until the 86th minute.
Now he's playing the Premier League.
He's starting in the English Premier League today.
Fantastic.
Great.
Probably
story.
On the same wages.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he is. Maybe a slight upturn.
Which position does he play, God?
That I am not 100% sure on, I must say. Someone more educated than me.
If you're having a fairy tale story, you might as well go the whole hog and score for Crystal Palace.
Why not? Do something mad anyway. I mean, it says midfielder here. On
I'm going to say a defensive
what
midfielder.
I'm looking at, but there we go.
Do you know him, Mark? No.
No.
Never seen him? No.
Yeah, midfielder Fraser Wishart confirming I did think that, but there we go. Anyway, we're up and running in the 3 o'clock games. No goals yet in our featured matches. In our dress rehearsal, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are going to Montrose on their Christmas night out because they've scored first against Arbroath, and it's that experienced campaigner Paul Watson who's got the goal after just 4 minutes. Hugh Keevans is up and running with his teaser as well, so you should be settled in nicely to this Saturday afternoon.
We've had a stab at it.
We're doing a four.
The old teaser, have you?
Hugh will tell us though, like he usually does, that
4 out of 4. Hugh,
no, you haven't got any.
What?
So again, worth remembering,
it's our worst start.
These players had to be 33 or older when they scored the goal, because there's one very high profile, shall we say, example, who is now 33 and has scored in the Scottish Premiership this season, but wasn't 33
when he scored.
When he scored the goal. Okay.
How can we not have one of them? Because I heard Gordon telling you the answer.
Oh, so you're outing yourself as a cheat now, are you?
That's not cheating. That's listening, paying attention.
Which one?
Do you want me to say it?
Go on then.
Nicky Clark.
Well, I mean, we've got a slight issue in that he might be on that list, so I think you've given a wee freebie.
Well, hold on. It's just nicked his big woody.
There you go.
Have
a freebie on us. Nicky Clark's on the list. Do the rest. Partick Thistle 1, Raith Rovers 0.
A man that's over 33.
Yeah, certainly is. Brian Graham, friend of the show, has scored after 6 minutes. He used to play for Raith, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think they give him a bit of stick. I know most places do.
Most do, don't they?
I think he likes that one.
Yeah.
I think he likes that.
He'll have enjoyed that.
There will be no Andy Halliday celebration there.
No. Brian celebrates every goal, especially today. But he's on fire, the big man, and so is Thistle, because it was a ropey start to the season. But well, three in the bounce.
I wish Partick Thistle well, because Falkirk, and all credit to them, have built up a nice little lead at the top here. But I think we need, if Falkirk don't get automatic promotion and someone's going to take their place at the top, it'll have to be better quality than we saw last night. The Morton Air 1-1 draw at Capital.
How bad was that?
Low in quality.
That would never have happened under Marion.
Dundee United started well in that game at Tannadice. Just a bit of early pressure. Graham Carey goes just wide. One of those, is it a cross? Is it a shot? But anyway, just wide. Bright start by St Johnstone as well. Bit of reshuffling from Hibs, of course. They don't have a recognised number 9. Ellie Yuan playing as a striker. Martin Boyle wide right. Spain won the Euros without a striker, did they not?
Yeah.
Way back, remember that was the
Levine.
First time you saw
false 9.
Remember Levine?
That's a very different example, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, but get slaughtered for it.
The thing about Hibs, you know, all the hard luck stories, you know, the last minute goal that Hearts got at Easter Road, the penalty decision last week that went against Hibs, all the hard luck stories don't buy you sympathy while you're at the bottom of the league. They need to get off the top, need to beat St Mirren today, and if they do beat St Mirren, they're then only 1 point behind St Mirren. But they need to stop the sequence of misery.
Did you see that? That was the only decision from last week that the KMI panel reckoned that the officials got wrong. I don't think that Hibs should have had that penalty go against them in the game against Dundee United.
I don't know. Is there much point to this panel?
Well, everyone's always banged on about accountability and explaining. I think it depends what your starting point is. If you're daft enough to think that you won't ever get mistakes, fine. But once you accept that you are going to, then you might as well handle them in the right way. I think that's clearly the
who's on that
process.
Panel, Gordon? Do we know?
I think it's
like ex-players and so on.
I was going to say it's a panel that nobody really knows who's on it, who then comes out and says what the referee's got wrong, but then nothing's been done
again,
about
it. What does that mean? What are you wanting? You want them paraded down the high street?
Why have they got it?
Because when it's no there, people complain that there's no accountability, or there's no, not accountability, but there's no sort of explanation, or there's no analysis, or no admission when things go wrong. But you can't have it both ways.
But what explanation is, it's well listening to a show and us saying, that was a wrong decision. But how do we know these people? We don't even know who these people are.
Oh, I know some of them.
Well,
educated. I'm surprised you haven't been asked. People like you.
I'd love to see the Dazzler on a panel. I think he could bring Scottish football to a standstill.
You think so, Hugh?
Yeah.
I'm looking to further my career.
Yeah.
I'm looking at pantomime next year.
Uh huh.
Second time he's raised it. He's trying to get that offer. It clearly didn't come the last time.
I didn't raise it last week, did we?
Yeah, you've spoken about
off
it before.
Off air, we did.
Did we do it on air?
No, we didn't.
Did we not?
I'm throwing it out there to all the production team.
If anyone's listening, Gordon DL thinks he's famous enough now and would like to be in Panto. He's probably missed the boat for this year. Fine. Can we arrange it for the future? Right, done. Move on. Cove Rangers 1, Inverness Cali Thistle 0. Scorer of many goals in the lower leagues, one of the best in the business at that, Mitch Meginson, after 10 minutes, and it was just a grim time all round, obviously, for Inverness Cali Thistle.
It's just a slow, tortuous fall into the bottom league for Inverness Scally Thistle, and they have to hope that investment comes in and that they actually remain as an SPFL club.
Yeah, a bad start on the pitch today, although Cove Rangers been going pretty well recently, so perhaps no surprises there. Annan nil, Stenhouse Muir 1, Matt Yates with the goal there on 8 minutes. Gordon Dale's taking this teaser seriously. I can see him googling things. We googled someone's age, that's all we've done. The last time you googled something and showed it to Mark Wilson, it was not a player's age, let me tell you. But I'm glad you've got your eyes on the prize.
And I'm glad Mark's over 18
today.
Yes. Hughes just gave us a thumbs up.
Does Hughes get 7?
No.
Three, because the first 4 were wrong.
Alright, okay.
And we gave it's a good question.
Dalby and Babinski combining for Dundee United. Header goes wide in the end though, so still no goals in our featured 3 o'clock games. Hugh, you're always one for sticking your neck on the line with outrageous predictions. You did say to the guys off air, you don't think we'll get a goal in the first half of any of our Premiership games this afternoon. Is that right?
The three o'clock kickoffs, I'm sceptical that we'll get a goal.
Just great, because we've got a show to fill. So if they could, that would be lovely. That would be absolutely lovely. David Friel is
a bad game.
No, he's guaranteeing goals, he says.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think David will get goals.
Bonnie Rigrose 1 Elgin City 0 Angus Mailer on 15 minutes. So the goals are going in down the leagues, just nothing in our three featured matches so far. I did tell you that Partick Thistle goal in the Championship, which is quite a big one.
You surely today Falkirk top, Airdrie bottom. Surely Falkirk at home, given the crowds they get, they'll rattle in a few, but
get the 3 points and keep that lead.
Well, there's a lull and no goals. Did anyone see the poster at reception when you came in this morning?
Sorry.
Public service announcement here. There is a poster that I took a photo of when we come in. Now, there's usually some leaflets, you know, you've seen them, cafe, new restaurant.
What is it?
Reward, missing African grey parrot.
I did see that. So maybe we could do our bit here. Can we get this parrot back helpful to its rightful owner?
And there's three pictures of the parrot, just in case one wasn't enough. A couple of them are in black and white, so that doesn't do much good. But
I thought you said it was grey anyway.
A parrot?
Of course, aye. So but what colour are grey? You know,
dark
is
grey,
it dark grey?
Parrots
its name
are always
is Cece. It's one, and it's a female.
Look at Animal Rescue over here. What's happened?
So
he's just taking this upon himself to throw this appeal out there.
Somebody's lost a pirate.
Don't show that.
So there you go. I thought that was weird.
Real drama in the Clydebank area this week.
Great. Yeah, looking for a parrot.
There's a pirate on the list.
There's a pirate missing a parrot. There you are.
I can't believe at your age you're walking in taking photos of that.
Is there an age limit on that sort of stuff?
Oh, behave. Who would? Did you notice
it? Hold on.
When was
the last time you seen a poster for a missing parrot?
I've never seen it. I don't
exactly.
Don't
there
that
you
one.
Go. So why would you not take a picture?
I think it was the fact that the cage was sitting there empty.
We do need a goal, Hugh. That's become
desperately.
Seen a couple of foxes with feathers hanging at Smith beside right enough.
I'm now finding myself thinking on how you actually capture a missing parrot. How do you?
You entice it with food. No.
There you go, David Attenborough himself. You entice it with food.
Some sort of nuts or something.
I saw him on the telly the other day. Really, he was 98.
Oh, he's doing well, isn't he?
Who? Hugh?
David Attenborough.
David, is he?
He's back every Sunday night. Attenborough's back.
I knew he'd put in a fair shift, but I didn't know he was that age. Anyway, Neil Brown says Dazzler wouldn't make it in Panto because he couldn't even stay on his seat while in costume this week.
Hold on a minute. That would bring the house down where the kids would love that. The
you
chicken falling off his seat, laying an egg at the same time.
I need to break it to my grandchildren. We're going to see Uncle Daz next year.
I'll get you all tickets, boys.
A frightening
How
thought.
Good would that
I
be?
I think you've got a future in it.
Well, have idea. You know what I mean? I'm out there. I'm willing to give my services.
You're certainly out there. Yeah, that's true.
Pick a theme, get the wig on you.
I'm sitting back watching, obviously, the career that Fraser's having on Netflix just now. And I'm thinking, well, I could get a wee bit of that on the pantomime.
Please, somebody score. End this misery right now.
Has he texted you privately about that? Has he deleted your number?
He's loving that. He's getting a lot of publicity out of Fraz.
This cannot go on any longer. We're keeping an eye on all the Scotland games. Of course, we are. All the Scottish games, I should say. We're keeping an eye on Crystal Palace all of a sudden, aren't we? We know we're Crystal Palace fans today to see what they
would it be if he scored.
I think that's an amazing story. It really is.
It truly is. I really do hope.
And why have you not heard
Justin Deveney score?
Heard about that before? Because it's usually something we champion, don't we? Any young player goes down south.
You've missed that one, I'm afraid. Whilst there is a bit of a lull, let's kind of nod just slightly. Well, kind of towards tomorrow, or maybe a bit back on the other night. I want to get your thoughts on this comment from Cyril Dessers, because we put this on our social media feeds and it got a lot of views, as the kids would say, Hugh Keevans.
Yep.
Lots of debates, lots of comments made. So I wonder how you three feel about it.
I was watching the Champions League this week and I see unbelievable strikers miss chances. So who am I, as Cyril Dessers, to not miss chances? Obviously, you're always going to miss more than you score. That's life of a striker. You know that there will always be a perception about that, but yeah, that's a life. If I would score 3 chances every game, yeah, then I would probably not be at Rangers either. But that's life, and you just have to keep going, never give up as a team, individual, and you just need to be ready for the next one, and that's what I did today. That's what we did as a team as well. Even after the setback, yeah, we came back, and that's and I think we can be very proud with our performance.
I think he's perfectly entitled to make those comments. He's been very honest with himself, and he's quite right to highlight the fact that no one scores all of the time. His problem for me seems to be that the early chance that came up against Olympiacos, he should have scored and didn't, but he then starts to score after he's missed a couple.
Let's get back to it, because this is important.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
I can just imagine the mood. Hibs 0, St Mirren 1. Conor McMenamin been speaking about his injuries and how frustrating it's been back in the team and scoring goals. Hibs 0, St Mirren 1.
As I said, hard luck stories don't buy you sympathy. There will be no sympathy. I don't care what the goal looked like. I don't care the circumstances. I don't care if Hibs were on top from minute 1 until McMenamin scored in the 16th minute. It's a bad turn of events for David Gray, and he better get out of it or else.
It's not a surprise, really, them falling behind. 16 goals already conceded this year. Clouds are gathering over Easter Road and coming up to an international break. That's always dangerous, but they've got a long time to get themselves out of it. So I don't think Hibs fans will be shocked at that.
They'll not be shocked, but they'll certainly not be happy. I think there'll be more goals there. I think Hibs can leak goals. I think St Mirren are the same. They're dropped down to 7th. So I still think there'll be plenty of goals. It could be twists and turns, but Hibs certainly need to get the next goal.
St Mirren have won one of the last 5 games. You know, you cannot put that down as any form of hard luck story where Hibs are concerned. They're playing a bang average St Mirren, and they're trailing at home. That kind of run cannot go on indefinitely, and they've got to get out of it this afternoon. If they lose at home, could be trouble over the weekend.
Yeah, go back to that Cyril Dessers one for me.
Yep.
Him saying, if I could score all 3 chances, I wouldn't be at Rangers.
I think there's a fine line. I think each one of us can say that, because it's true. I think when you're a Rangers player,
hold on a minute, I don't mind being interrupted by goals.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Motherwell 1, St Johnston 0. Tawanda Maswanisi, back post header from Coletta's cross. It was against the run of play. Don't think that matters too much to the home fans. It started in the own half. Miller to Seddon, long ball to Coletta, into the box, and there was Tawanda Maswanisi. Motherwell 1, St Johnston 0.
I thought Maswanisi looked slightly under par against Rangers in the cup tie last weekend, but he had scored 2 goals in the league game which preceded that, and now he scored in the one which has followed that semi-final. So he is starting well at Motherwell. Simo Vallecari has a fight on his hands.
Our predictions went down well, Hugh.
Yeah.
Lasted 20 minutes.
Yeah, but you see, I throw things
out
there.
You do.
You two talk about catching parrots. Throw things out there.
I think it's called opening your mouth and letting your belly rumble. I think that's a statement for it.
Well, when you're 75 and you're still making a living, come back and tell me.
Oh, I know.
Daz. There you go. Shoot back on Daz. Go
good
on.
To, good to see it hasn't annoyed him.
Got.
Well, that's you made the candy it. I've made. Come back and
oh, what do you think of that, Hugh?
No, but that was him saying
no,
that.
No, he's talking about me.
No, he says when you've made the candy I have.
No, I'm no, talking about him.
He's paraphrasing Hugh. I thought you were.
Oh, no. Yeah, I thought you were talking about
him. Oh, I was
only one. Made a life-changing living out of this show. Is that guy?
He's married three daughters and he's only got two.
Radio Clyde has paid for my two daughters' weddings. There you are.
Anyway.
Oh, I'd love
that. Surreal Dessers. We'll get interrupted again, which is fine.
I think, again, Dessers is only being truthful there, because the minute somebody hits peak form at Celtic or Rangers, Matt O'Reilly, whoever you want to cite, they're out of here.
Yeah.
And for big money.
What do you make of Mark's point? I wonder if that is it. It's just a kind of subtle thing that that's the type of comment that other people can say about you and it becomes true.
Yeah.
But once you say it about yourself, it just hits a bit different. I don't, because like I say, you're right. And sort of to us, yeah, Cyril Dessers only scores X amount of chances, that's why he's at Rangers. I just, and maybe I shouldn't be swayed by social media, but we put that clip up. Nearly 500,000 people have watched it. It seems like,
is it all negative?
People think, yeah. It feels like a lot of people think that's a big deal. What about Mark's point?
Sense do they think it's a big deal?
Just a kind of weird mentality.
Of course.
Is that not something other people say about you?
Like,
because what do we say, right? People always say, oh, if Dyson Maida could cross the ball, you know, he'd be in the English Premier League. But if he was to go, what am I like? If only I could cross the ball, I would be at a bigger club. It would be weird, wouldn't it?
I still think that the Dessers is speaking the truth on both counts. And if you don't like the answer, then you're not thinking it through.
But I don't think any player would say that. If you take a player for the Premier League down south at the bottom half of the table and say, if I scored every chance, let's be honest, I would be at Man City. Those fan bases wouldn't like it either. When you're at Rangers and Celtic, it's completely, you know, exaggerated even further. Of course you can't say that.
I'm not buying that. I don't think that's such a massive deal. I think I'm sort of sliding towards Hugh here. I think he's been honest in his interview. He's talking. He's obviously knows that he gets a bit of stick for the chances he misses, and he's correct. Strikers, every striker misses chances. The greatest one was Alan McCoy's, missed chance after chance, but always found the back in
it. So what he said,
and I'm not comparing Alan McCoy's with Dessers before we get started. What I'm saying is, right, whether you think that's right or wrong, I don't think that's such a big deal to make such a big.
But when McCoy said that, if I scored every chance, I wouldn't be at Rangers. Of course he wouldn't.
The people who do seem to have an issue with it, I can't really say I'm necessarily one of them. I'd just like to watch the reaction coming in. Is that there's this? No, is it not him essentially saying, if I was any good, I wouldn't be here? You know, is that too much of a stretch? Is that not what that phrase means?
No, I don't think so. Not necessarily demeaning the club. He's, for me, telling you the facts of life. The best players aren't in this country.
I know that, but that's what I mean. Is that where it's fine, as Mark says, from the outside? But if you're in it, you're saying, the reason I'm here is because I'm limited. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're saying that about yourself.
I've said the same comment that he said on this show about Dessers, and that is fine, because we all know that's reality. I agree with you, Gordon. Saying that about yourself, I think it does disrespect the place you're at.
No, it doesn't. No, it does not. That's nonsense. And plus the fact, let me tell you now, Steve Dessers says anything, he'll come in for a bit of criticism from Rangers. But he can't do right for wrong.
I've said
the guy
a million times, I really like he's probably both halves of Glasgow, but if you want to limit it to Rangers, he's the best player to interview by a mile. Love it. You know, I really enjoy the experience. I'm just saying that it's clearly got a big reaction there. So I don't think we can then sit there and say you're all wrong to react
in
that way.
I'm not saying they're all wrong. I'm giving my opinion on it.
If it stirs that reaction in people,
supporters reserve the right to conduct themselves however they feel. Last Sunday at Hampden, James Tavernier was booed every time he touched the ball. There was one particularly awful cross which apparently brought a storm of protest from the crowd. He's been there for 9 years. He's the captain, and they slaughter him. So if a player draws attention to some of his attributes not being as good as others in other countries, I think that's fair enough.
The biggest problem is, see, Dessers, when he scores goals, nobody talks about his goals. They talk about the chances he misses. It's always on the negative side of it for him.
I don't know why. Because sometimes
you don't know why do you watch? No offence.
What I'm going to say is, at times he is a very frustrating player.
Aye, well, that's why then.
Right, but he's there to score goals. If you're a Rangers number nine, you're there to score goals. That's why Alan McCoys was such a successful guy, a legend at the club. Derek Johnston, legends at the club. They weren't the greatest build-up players. They were goal scorers. They scored goals. Dessers, all when he scores in the semi-final, brings them back into the game and probably goes on and wins the semi-final. Yes. Gets it. Right, what's the first reaction? Dessers, what about the chances he missed? Right, fine.
So you don't think that's valid criticism?
The other night, no, but I think you've still, I think you've got to give him a pat in the back.
That's fine. So you
it's
don't,
all criticism.
So you don't think it's valid to point out the chances missed?
I think every striker misses chances.
To the same extent he does?
Well, you don't see every striker every week.
Then we can move on.
I don't think he's up there in the himself alone going, oh, he's the one that misses all the chances apart from he gets an odd goal. He scores important goals. He scored two important goals Sunday and Thursday. True or false?
Oh, true for sure.
Right. But nobody comes on here and talks about the importance of the goal, how good the goal was, X, Y and Z, right? They talk about, oh, what about the chances he misses?
So the Rangers fans, the Rangers fans that pay all their hard earned to go and are really frustrated, they're just talking nonsense then?
I'm not saying that. That's their opinion. My opinion's different. Is that I don't need to agree with that opinion. My opinion's completely different.
But you're acting as if you can't even see where the frustration comes from.
I can see the fact that, by the way, Dessers will be frustrated. I was a striker at missed chances as well.
Dessers doesn't. This is the point.
There's nothing worse than missing chances.
To remind you, but what we're actually talking about, the Rangers fans who are complaining are suggesting that a guy who says, if I was better at finishing, I wouldn't be here, isn't as frustrated as they are.
No, he says if he scored three goals every time, it's the same point. And he's only telling the truth. If he scored a hat-trick every week, he wouldn't be at Rangers. Big clubs would come in and take him.
I think he should have put it better. I think he meant well.
I think he
meant well. But I'm thinking of Brian Graham for Partick Thistle. He comes out the day and says, you know, if I could put two or three in the back of the net, I wouldn't be at Thistle. You think Thistle fans would be happy with that?
It's the difference between journalism and fans.
I'd be in the top flight. I wouldn't be hanging about with you, Scuddies, in the championship.
Exactly.
You've just said Gordon is the best Rangers player to interview, or the best player in the league to interview, whatever. It's the difference between a journalist saying what a great quote that is and a fan saying how dare he say that. That's the difference.
Do you think he's been disrespectful with saying that?
No, I don't
think that's the right word though either.
Maybe I've got that wrong. I think he's just been, you know, he's just misjudged that comment.
If he had said,
I think his point's
right. If he had said,
but
what a club this is, they bought me, then that would be a different twist on it. But Rangers did buy him.
I think in life there are loads of things that other people can say about you, and then when you say them about yourself, it just becomes a bit weird. I think that's all it is. It doesn't need to be huge. Like I say, it doesn't need to be about disrespect or about big deep stuff. I just think sometimes there are certain comments that are left best for other people to say.
I just wouldn't get caught up in that. I don't even think it's worth the argument.
So I mean, because that is the best example I think you can find from the other side of the city, because we do say it all the time. We watch Maeda press the life out of everyone. He scoops across into the stands and we all say, if he could cross the ball, what level would he be at?
But again, who was your manager at Rangers again?
Jock Wallace and John Gregg, respectively.
John Gregg, if you'd come out and said that, you know what, see if I could put a couple away, I wouldn't be here. You think you'd be pulled into the manager's office with one of them?
Absolutely no chance, no. He would pat me in the back for being up front.
I'd punch you in the midriff. No. You've told me.
He would say, I respect your comments. And you're correct, Mr. Deal. As Falkirk go one up against
Edric. And who is it that scored? It's that man.
Adams.
The right back.
This week, Keelan Adams.
Yeah.
The Cumbernauld Colt.
Signed from the Lowland League. Was it this week he got a new contract? Or last week? I think certainly very recently, Keelan Adams signed from the Lowland League. Now flying high at the top of the Championship. Falkirk beating Airdrie by a 0-0. Let's remind ourselves of your teaser, please, Hugh.
Tell me. There are 7 players 33 years of age and older who have scored in the Scottish Premiership this season. Who are they?
Okay, I can see some good answers coming in at Clyde SSB. Remember, you have to get them all, which can be the challenge, clearly. A common wrong one, because this is why I was very clear in the wording, Andy Halliday.
Yeah.
He's 33 now.
At the time of scoring.
Not when he scored in the... Premiership this season. Okay. What about his teammate Jamie Dock would like to throw in Paul McGinn?
Well,
oh, he is on the list. Yeah. Sorry, I'm making
there's another freebie for
him. You know what it was? I was too busy reading the tweet slaughtering Gordon DL for his take on that Dessers thing.
Oh, they don't like your opinion.
TN72 Rangers fan, DL is well off. If Dessers was in any way competent, we'd have been clear of Motherwell and Olympiacos before we had to equalise.
That's not the, that's not the
he's
argument.
He's either totally disrespectful or totally bone idle, says TN72.
That's not even the argument.
You're never going to,
or whatever your name is.
You're never going to convince fans that that's what he said is anything other than demeaning.
Eli Campbell's had a shot over the bar for Ross County. Still no goals in that one. We do have one for Motherwell against St Johnstone there, one up, and Hibs crucially. Always talk about good. Maybe it's Hibs' turn though to do something dramatic late on in a game and well, spin it the other way for once.
It had better be, because the weekend before the international break gets people trigger happy.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Hibs nil, St Mirren 2, and it's a double for Conor McMenamin. As I said, he's been frustrated at the injuries at the start of the season. He's certainly got the bit between his teeth today. We're at the half hour mark. It's Hibs nil, St Mirren 2. Fraser Wishart can tell us the current mood inside Easter Road. He robbed Warren O'Hara 30 yards from goal. He ran through, fired it high into the net as well. So it's a very, very bad afternoon so far for Hibs on an afternoon that we said they probably couldn't afford. Loud boos ringing around Easter Road.
We won't be able to hear Fraser Wishart for the sound of the crowd noise. You know, if this gets any worse, then I'm very much afraid it falls into the category of keep your eye on Easter Road the next 24-48 hours.
Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And we've got a second goal as well for Motherwell. Motherwell 2, St Johnstone 0. Remember, Tawanda Maswanisi had the home side in front with the first. They've now added to their tally. Simo Valakari back at Fir Park, where he spent 4 years as a player, but it's not going too well for him. It was a ball to the back post and it was finished by Tom Sparrow. Back into the team today from the start. 34 gone. Motherwell 2, St Johnstone 0. Tom Sparrow sounds a bit like the pirate that Mark was trying to find earlier.
I was just going to say, there's a parrot missing and there's a sparrow that's turned up like at Fir Park.
Yeah, brilliant. Great start from Motherwell. Yeah. Especially after last week at semi-final. I didn't think they really turned up. You know what I mean? I thought they were poor in a lot of departments. But look, bread and butter, we're back 2-0 up. That's 3 points in the bag.
Should have actually scored moments earlier. Joshua Ray made the save from your man. Go on. You are both practising it.
First name
as well.
Apostolos Stamatopoulos. Stamatopoulos.
Right, so we know.
Stamatopoulos.
You give it a go first.
No, Apostolos. No. Stamatopoulos.
Are you serious?
Apostolos Stamatopoulos.
Stamatopoulos.
Stamatopoulos. I can't say it. Man.
St Johnstone are actually
number 9.
St Johnstone
Stammer
look good, but they're actually just really shaky at the back. So that's a real frustration, I'm sure, for Simo Valakari. But Motherwell 2 up, and as much as Gordon and I and others would be pleased, I think just more significantly in terms of knock-on effects, St Mirren being 2-0 up at Easter Road just past the half-hour mark, that has the potential to become a pretty ugly sight all round, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it has that potential. You're absolutely right. Things come to an end, I tend to find, in a dramatic fashion. And by dramatic fashion, I mean that you take a heavy beating at home in the midst of what's been going on at Easter Road. And by what's going on, I mean the club is bottom of the table and one third of the season is now over. So if this gets any more dramatic in favour of St Mirren and at Hibs' expense, you'd need to watch Easter Road next 24 to 48 hours.
I mean, still time to turn around, obviously, Gordon, as well. But if you were a Hibs fan, I don't think you would be feeling too calm about that prospect.
No, I think they'll be a bit upset, Gordon. The one thing we know for sure, they'll need to get the next goal to give them any hope at all. I was actually, believe it or not, and I know you won't, I was speaking to Alex the other day there, Thursday at the school gates. And he was
Alex
that,
now is it?
Yeah. Yeah, we're really close.
Alex Gogic, for those who don't know.
Yeah. And he was saying that they were very confident through there. They'd worked hard all week and they fancied their chances if they could get the first goal and put a bit of pressure on Hibs. And that's what they've certainly done. So
he slipped into serious mode because that sounded believable.
Do you know, that is 100%.
What, they've worked really hard on things, and if they can get the first goal,
And it put a bit of pressure on the Hibs, that's what he said. And I says, Alex, you're 100% right. I do agree with you.
There's a team that needs an upturn. Spartans 4-0, Spartans 2, Brogan Walls with the goal. Really needing a bit of an upturn.
I've just realised why these two are chuntering on about Pantos and Lost Parrots. They've got a big box of chocolates in front of them, and they've been dipping in there all day. They've got
hyper
heroes. Yeah,
a wee, nice,
keep us going.
It's a wee bit of Calpol they need.
Wait till tomorrow. There'll be none left.
Yeah, 6 hour Sunday evening show is a new, it's a new one for us tomorrow.
Well, we're expecting our Sunday roast delivered here in front of us.
Any companies out there want to deliver a Sunday roast to us tomorrow? You know where we are. Come on.
There will be.
Keep the boys happy.
Somebody will need to send us food, surely.
2 until 8 on a Saturday, Sunday.
Son up, somebody out there listening.
We love it. Come on, we love it. You know it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
At Motherwell, looking like they could score every time they go forward now. So it's amazing what happens. A couple of goals and things really.
That's a new chairman
shifts.
Bounce.
I think so.
Yeah, that's a new chairman bounce.
Think he'll be in about the dressing room, one of those chairmen, or in the background?
Surely not.
Is there anyone in the team who's older than the chairman? Who's your oldest player?
Is Andy not? Did you say 33?
Andy's just turned 33, so he would be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, Paul McGinn must be. No, O'Donnell. But he's not playing. Stephen O'Donnell.
Yeah, he'll be there or thereabouts as well, you would have to say. So Paul McGinn's 34, so he'll be older than the chairman,
Goodness me.
Incredible, isn't it? But you don't really pay much attention as a player to the chairman, do you?
No, Mark?
I can't really tell you.
Only when it was bonus time.
CEO does day-to-day running, don't they? CEO does day-to-day running. So.
Yeah, so you don't really pay much attention.
There'll be more of that, but anyway, it's quite a nice quirk anyway. And if there is such a thing as a new chairman bounce, it's never been said before, will never be said again, but Motherwell are leading 2-0 at Fir Park against St Johnstone. Same scoreline, St Mirren trailing at Easter Road. They need something, you'd imagine, just before half time, because that atmosphere when they walk off, Gordon, in 5 minutes' time is going to be poisonous.
Yeah, boos ringing in their ears, the Hibs fans. I'll bet you any money some Hibs fans have already left the stadium. You always get goals with Hibs and St Mirren. I was there a few years ago at the start of the season, and it was a terrific, entertaining game in front of a crowd of 18,000. I think I mentioned that on air.
A couple of things.
And the Hibs fans then were disappointed, and that was the start of the season. What like are they now when they're going to be rooted to the bottom of the table at 5 o'clock tonight?
I guess sometimes you get an opponent that sometimes, you know, just has the beating of you. But if you were going to go into a season, get to early November, and you've already lost heavily twice to St Mirren without scoring, you know, remember it was 3-0. Was that the opening day of
opening
the season?
Opening day of the season. By the way, and I made a comment, I remember it. I said, in that game, if Hibs continue to defend like that, they will be relegation favourites. Now, that's opening day. That's one of your comments, Hugh, because it could have come back to bite me pretty quickly. But they've continued to defend like that in almost every single game. I think the only one that they didn't was at Ibrox against Rangers, where they looked pretty decent. You thought, that's a Hibs team that will shoot up the table.
What is up with them? Because they've got decent players.
Good question.
They've got decent players, haven't they? They've got a bit of pace about them. They've got a bit of experience. In the middle of the park, they've got a bit of craft.
As soon as you say, what's up with them? Where do people turn? It's his fault, the manager.
Yeah. Looking back now, it was just, for me, it was just a strange appointment, I've got to say.
Not much to cheer if you're an Inverness Cali Thistle fan at the moment. They have equalised, incidentally, for now. So Cove Rangers 1, Inverness Cali Thistle 1. Adam McKinnon on 39 minutes.
Oh, Stevie May doing the business for Livy.
Yeah, Hamilton Accies 0, Livy 1. Was it not a loan spell at Hamilton Accies that really sort of kick started Stevie May? I think when he was at St Johnstone way back, didn't he? He went to Hamilton on loan, scored a lot of goals, went back, is that right? Or Alloa? Did he go to both?
Yeah, he went to both. Hamilton. Yeah, he was certainly at Hamilton. I remember watching him.
It keeps them in the race. That's the important thing.
Who, Livy?
Livy, yeah. I mean, they're second top. They're a goal up. Falkirk are a goal up. At the moment, they are the race. Falkirk and Livingston. The rest have got a bit of catching
did
up.
Did they
to
keep
do.
Their team bus when they come down for the Premier League? Because they're one of the best team buses in Scotland.
I've got no idea, honestly, but I'll find out for you.
Yeah, please do.
Killian Phillips has now had a shot deflected wide, and that's set them off again. The Hibs fans booing away. Hugh.
Oh yeah, I fear for all concerned that this is the drama I was talking about. Things tend to come to an end when you have a dramatic happening. And if Hibs lose by any more than this 2-0 margin that they're suffering at the moment, then that's the dramatic happening.
Let's do this, Hugh, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
There are seven players, 33 and older, who have scored in the Scottish Premiership this season. They are Nicky Clark, Graham Carey at St Johnstone, Dwight Gale at Hibs, Junior Hoylett at Hibs, Marley Watkins at Kilmarnock, Paul McGinn at Motherwell, and the captain Graham Shinney at Aberdeen.
Good list that, well done if you got it right. The podium looks like Jamie McCarry in third, Nott Matondo in second, and Jamie Dock, the winner of the gold medal. The first half teaser, Jamie Dock, it is yours. Well done to you. A quick equaliser there for Hamilton Accies against Livy, Kevin O'Hara, just a few minutes before the break. But they're not hanging around in Falkirk. It's already gone, the half time. It's not quarter to five yet, so I don't know how they've reached half time, but they have. Falkirk won.
I like that.
Airdrillians nil. Just right. No hanging around.
The Dazzler would approve of that. Get off the pitch.
Let's
early
go. Yeah, let's wrap this up.
Oh yeah, you want to finish by quarter to five.
No VAR, of course, in the Championship and down the way, which often helps. But
no, I'm just laughing at that, how that comes about, and there's been a goal, so obviously.
Because obviously, you're on the video.
Time of that.
On the video printer, there are games, you know, in every division all across the UK, and none have reached half time yet. But Falkirk Airdrie somehow has done. So fair play to them. Absolutely not hanging around. Decided just to take things into their own hands and kick off early. Why not? The dark nights, isn't it? You want to get done.
I think the Dazzler's right though when he said that at Easter Road, and Fraser is our eyewitness, I think there'll be Hibs fans who are on their way out into Leith for the night.
But do you sometimes want to hang around to voice your displeasure?
Oh yeah, I always say that those who stay have stayed to boo, and that's the long and the short of it.
Yeah, there is every chance. Our man's not scored for Crystal Palace yet. What's up with him?
He's went to the second half. There you go.
By all accounts, I'm having a quick flick through social media as well, and some messages coming
for
in.
The parrot.
Yeah. No, actually.
None. Interesting. Keep your eyes peeled. It's getting dark, so it'll be hard to spot in the darkness.
Lots of criticism about the Hibs performance, so that doesn't help. Not that it would make much difference. They're probably in a, you know, results mean everything stage now, but even some sort of sign of life. And
well, that's it exactly. What's happening hints at an irreversible course of events unless you bite the bullet, you change the manager.
Half time starting to go now, left in their wake by Falkirk. Bonnie Rigrose 1, Elgin City 0 at the break. I can see these types of half time whistles starting to go. We'll see how we fare in our featured Premiership matches. The biggest goal really in the Championship we told you about was quite a while ago now. Friend of the show, Brian Graham, scoring against his former team Raith Rovers. And I think it looks like Thistle will take that lead into the break. What the under-18s, did they play yesterday?
Oh, they did. And I was just going to say, brilliant from the captain. Brian Graham popped in just before kickoff. All the best, guys. Well done. They won 1-0.
Oh, must have inspired them.
Good for the captain. You don't get that from many first team captains dropping in to see the under-18s.
Good on them.
Well,
didn't they tell us about last weekend? Must have been something in that. But anyway, we'll move on and try and get
void.
Think of a number between 6 and 8.
7 breakaways.
Surely the halftime whistles will be upon us in the Premiership, because we're getting to that stage. I'm really looking forward to trying to even just hear, no offence, it's not that I don't want to hear Fraser Wishart, but I'm kind of more interested in the noise in the background at Easter Road, just to see how the locals are taking all this. I can't imagine it'll be very well. 2-0 down at home to St Mirren, not 1-6, bottom of the table. It's really rough times for Hibs at the moment. And yes, they were hard done by that penalty decision, according to the KMI panel last weekend. But there we go. I hope our man hasn't been responsible for the Fulham goal they've just scored against Crystal Palace to go one up. Half time for Park, Roger Hanna.
Yeah, half time. Simo Balakari's homecoming not going well, Gordon. It's Motherwell 2, St Johnstone 0. Saints actually started really brightly. Graham Carey's cross drifting just past the far post before both Adama Sidibe and the captain, Nicky Clark, had shots blocked in the box. Carey then fired over the top, but Motherwell took a long time to get into the game. Tawanda Maswanisi, he had a long run that was ended by a smart tackle by Jack Sanders, and then Andy Halliday had a long range shot that was held by George Ray. But in 20 minutes, a breakthrough for the home team, and it started deep in their own half. It actually looked as if it were a bit careless in possession, but the skipper, Lennon Miller, got on the ball, played a smart pass to Steve Seddon. The centre-half, a long ball to free the right wing-back, Marvin Kaleta, and his cross reached the back post where Maswanisi rose to head past Josh Ray for the opening goal. Aston Oxford then had a smart save from Matt Smith. He spilled the ball, but Sidibe just couldn't reach the rebound as Saints pushed for an equaliser. But then Maswanisi stole the ball off Gray Wright. He burst forward, searching for a second Motherwell goal, but it was a little heavy touch and it allowed Barry Douglas to come in and intercept, coming over on the cover. It's a good save by Josh Ree to deny Apostolos Stamatolopoulos with his header after a wonderful Miller pass had freed Ewan Wilson for a cross to the Aussie striker. The second goal looked as if it was about to come, and it did in 34 minutes. Maswanisi, the scorer of the first, this time providing the assist for Tom Sparrow tonight. Sparrow coming into the team is the only change from the semi-final lineup last weekend for the suspended Liam Gordon. Maswanisi flashed a shot just wide as the Saints defence really began to creak before half time. They're decent in the ball, Vanakari's side, but they look as if they can see the goal at any time. Motherwell go forward. At the break, they've conceded twice. It's Motherwell 2, St Johnstone 0.
Similar scoreline pending at Easter Road. We'll just stall for time whilst we get the half time whistle there. That's a good first half scoreline for Motherwell, Hugh.
Yeah, very good. Simo Balakari up and down since taking over St Johnstone, but for Motherwell, after the semi-final disappointment, they've come back in the most positive fashion possible.
Yeah, really impressive stuff. Maswanisi and Tom Sparrow. All we need now is a Halliday goal, knee slide backflip, shot over the head, etc, etc, just to round it all off.
Okay, Gordon, you know, after a disappointment last week, the injury list that Motherwell have got, St Johnstone have got, you know, players up front that can cause you problems. That's a terrific half time result.
They left Kimpioka out though, of the starting 11.
Motherwell without Liam Gordon today.
He's suspended.
Yeah.
Against his former club as well. Yeah, that too much suspension. Half time, Easter Road, Fraser.
Yeah, you can probably hear some of the booing around me. It wasn't quite as bad as I thought at half time, but round the ground, they are not happy. Hibs fans are on edge. Their mood was clear from the start. I think Simmering, a good description, but it's boiled over here. The loud booing came in. Conor McMenamin scored his first, and louder when he scored his second. And from then on till half time, it's been constant for every single mistake by the players and the referee. 17 minutes had gone, the first chance of the game led to a goal. Scott Tanzer's played really well, did well on the left hand side near the corner flag. Lovely cross from the left and turned in by Conor McMenamin from 8 yards. Winger just back from his long injury, really celebrated his goal, and quite right too. A few boos from home support when the goal went in. The ref Ian Sneddon getting the treatment for minor decision, and it took Hibs some time to recover. In 27 minutes, the first and probably only real shot at goal. Eli Young did really well inside the box. He's back to goal, sharp turn and a really good shot. It hit the post and rebounded clear, but it's St Mirren who got the second on 31 minutes. Warren Ahora dallied, he should have cleared the ball, but he delayed. He was robbed by Conor McMenamin, 35 yards out. And then McGinn just ran free into the box, unchallenged, to score with his right foot. I thought Joseph Bursic in the goal should have done better. But then the Hibs fans are really booing every pass, every mistake, every stray pass. Players' confidence completely gone. Even the simplest of passes not reaching their target. And St Mirren always dangerous on the break. A couple of good bursts by O'Hara on the left-hand side. Didn't come to anything. But you could see that St Mirren might have scored a third. With all the focus on Hibs, we shouldn't forget how well St Mirren have played. Big half-time for David Gray. Hibs need to score the next goal. If St Mirren score it, their third, this place will empty. Except, as Hugh Keevan said earlier, those who stay will want to boo. Half-time at Easter Road, to Burnley 0, St Mirren 2.
Story developing there, you suspect, unless that changes. Finally, Tannadice, half-time, David Friel.
Yeah, half-time, Gordon, Dundee United 0, Ross County 0. A guaranteed goals here I haven't delivered so far. In fact, we've only had one shot on target in the first 45 minutes. But for all that, it's not been the worst game overall. Both sides trying to play, both sides have created openings. They just can't find that killer touch in the final third. County definitely started better. Eli Campbell's corners have caused all sorts of problems. Jordan White headed one over from 8 yards early on. He probably should have done better. Aidan Denham also had an effort blocked around that time. But United settled, started to create. Vico Seville's forced a routine save from Ross Laidlaw in 20 minutes. Salm Dalby headed wide. Will Ferry's been really bright in the left for United. His brilliant cross was begging to be converted, but nobody was there. Dalby, he's also been a handful. He fluffed a volley after being picked out in the box, but County have defended pretty well. They've been resolute. And Eli Campbell's always been a danger down that left wing. He sent an effort over the bar from 20 yards before the break. So I'd say United probably have just edged it in terms of pressure. I think Jim Goodwin will be expecting a big second half shooting down the slope. Half-time, Dundee United 0, Ross County 0.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.
Half-time scores in the Scottish Premiership. Dundee United 0, Ross County 0, Hibs 0, St Mirren 2, Motherwell 2, St Johnstone 0, and Aberdeen Dundee is still to come at 5:30. In the Championship, Falkirk 1, Airdrie 0, Hamilton Accies 1, Livingston 1, Partick Thistle 1, Raith Rovers 0, and Queen's Park 1, Dunfermline 0. In League 1, Annan 1, Stenhouse Muir 1, Cove Rangers 1, Inverness 1, Kelty Hearts 0, Dumbarton 0, and Montrose 1, Arbroath 0. Into League 2, Bonnyrigg Rose 1, Elgin City 0, East Fife 0, Stranraer 1, Edinburgh City 0, Clyde 0, Forfar 0, Spartans 2, and Stirling Albion 2, Peterhead 1. These second halves are coming up next.